Now here's New York Vinny.
8:40 here on News Radio 710 Cairo. Thank you so much for joining us on Sports Talk this evening. Frank Shire is coming up at 9 o'clock, a little after 9 o'clock this evening. It's my pleasure now to welcome in a gentleman who was hard at work this weekend. I'll tell you what, when you see guys' fingernails flying as they're hitting the computer keys, you only know that you got to stand back and watch Mike Sando, the TNT, just banging out those blog entries. And he's with us now. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. Fingers are under ice right now. Just kind of getting the swelling down. You know?
Yeah, I would think that, this is obviously a busy weekend, and interesting in the fact that that a lot of people thought, well, you know, second round pick is where the Seahawks start. Not a lot. We'll be able to kind of relax. And Friday night, the whole Daryl Jackson thing hits, which you broke really in your blog first, and all of a sudden it became a very, very interesting and intriguing day on Saturday, didn't it?
It did, you know, and the Daryl Jackson thing was something we had been kind of looking for since the original story came out in February that they were going to shop him, and yet there was a whole lot of nothing between then and now, and, you know, I'd kind of been writing for some time that if something was going to happen, it would be on draft day, but we really didn't get strong indications until right then, the day before the draft, and then Saturday was kind of weird because, Seattle hadn't agreed to the deal yet, and so there was still also the question whether or not Daryl would pass physical down there, given that he's had some physical problems. And so there was still kind of a little bit of a limbo. And at that point on Saturday, you're thinking, hey, at this point, could they even bring him back? Because he was already not happy, and now you've tried to trade him. I mean, it would have been kind of a mess. So they were able to get it done eventually. They did not get a lot in return, but I think the moral of the story here was that, you know, Tim Ruskell wanted to end this relationship and move on, and in his quest to get the locker room filled with guys who have fully bought into what he's selling, which is, being there every day, being there in the off season, participating in the voluntary portions of mini camps, all things that Daryl didn't want to do because he was unhappy with his contract, and he had told the team he would not really do anything more than what was required of him. So it's over. It was a little messy. Seattle didn't get a lot in return, getting a fourth-round pick, but I think Tim Ruskell's probably a little relieved, and now he'll be more relieved if Daryl doesn't go down to San Francisco and lead the 49ers to a first-place finish in the NFC West.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is when you start to look at this thing, you brought up an interesting point today in the fact that this is not something that Mike Holmgren didn't do when he came in here, a la Joey Galloway, a la Sam Adams. Everybody wants to put their mark on the franchise. Galloway going to the Cowboys. Still, though, you didn't trade him within your division. You traded him out of your division. Was that a struggle for them? Because when I heard Mike Holmgren's interview this morning from last night, it didn't sound like he was exactly thrilled about sending him to the 49ers.
He wasn't. This was a reluctant move for him. I mean, sending them to the 49ers just because he didn't have anyone else who was going to give him anything for him. So they wanted something in return, and they got it. But, yeah, they're rolling the dice. I mean, you don't want to send a good player, and let's face it, by almost any measure, Daryl's their best receiver. Certainly it has been their most productive one. You don't want to send him down to a team that you already lost to twice, and now he's going to be motivated like he's never been before, particularly for those two games. So that's the tough part about it. Tim Ruskell said, look, we lost to the 49ers twice with Daryl. So it was kind of a throwaway line. But, you know, I think there's some evidence, too, that Mike Holmgren's offense is about the system a little bit, as long as you have a quarterback. I mean, they've plugged in Joe Jurevicius before. They've plugged in, you go back to when he first got here, Derek Mays was catching 10 touchdowns.
So yeah.
It's not the end of the world for them. Are they a better team without Daryl? No. Is Tim Ruskell in a better position to have the kind of team he wants in terms of everyone 100% committed to what he wants them to do? Yeah. And now we just have to see how it pans out over the long term.
Well, I guess there was some question last season about Nate Burleson stepping up. I mean, we saw Deion Branch and what he did in the time. What about the dynamic of Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, a lot of people said today, well, you know, Darryl Jackson was Hasselbeck's favorite receiver, but yet there was kind of a yin and yang there, because I had also several times heard Hasselbeck, you know, disgruntled about the fact that Jackson wouldn't show up at the mini camps and things like that, and took perceivably a little bit longer than he probably should have to come back from his injury in training camp last year. Those things seemed to upset Hasselbeck, but at the same time, Hasselbeck also used to rave about he loved throwing to Darryl Jackson.
Well, that's because no one really had a problem with Darryl on Sundays. You know, I think the complaints with Darryl were, you know, the rest of the time when they're not playing the games. You know, he showed up on Sundays and he played. I mean, this guy, when his dad died, remember when that happened? I mean, Darryl was spent Saturday. I don't know if Saturday was the funeral, but he was away with family on Saturday. He flies himself into Minnesota in like the middle of the night, and if I remember, I mean, he caught like something like 10 passes in a very rare Seahawks victory in Minnesota a few years ago. So, I mean, he produced in games. I think it was just the rest of the time, some of the other games that were being played, that eventually took their toll and led Ruskell to make this decision.
Well, who will now, I mean, you know, obviously now you're going to look at Branch, you'll look at Burleson. As Branch becomes that number one receiver, you know, is Burleson, do you think his problems of last year are kind of gone away? Is he ready now to kind of shed, you know, some of whatever it was that didn't get him accommodated or situated like he wanted to be last year, and ready to take the mantle? Because if not, they're in a little bit of trouble, aren't they?
Well, here's the thing. I think that there's some feeling that DJ Hackett could wind up being their best guy. I mean, he's a guy who is different than the rest of the receivers, because he's about 6'2". He plays bigger than that. He goes after the ball. Remember, that guy has made plays when they've allowed him to play. So I won't be surprised at all if Hackett emerges as a starter. I think he's probably the favorite opposite Deion Branch, and the pressure is really on Nate Burleson, because while he did catch a touchdown pass in the Chicago playoff game, you know, it was a struggle for him to get going. He had the hand injury early in the season. I think he lost some confidence. He wasn't, you know, didn't have the background with Hasselbeck that might have helped him pull out of that. And now that he really needs to step it up this offseason, because there's no guarantees for him as far as ascending into the starting lineup. I think DJ Hackett probably has the inside track on that, because he gives the Seahawks something they can't get from anyone else, that size-speed combination.
Mike Sando from the Tacoma News Tribune is with us. His blog is on TacomaNewsTribune.com, or NewsTribune.com. TheNewsTribune.com is where you can go and find the Seahawk Insider. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. We'll do a quick news tease, then we'll come back and talk a little bit more to Mike Sando to get his quick thoughts on the draft yesterday. Now let's go into the newsroom at 8:48 and Jeff Poggiola.
Now, here's New York Vinny.
8:53, back with you here with Mike Sando from the Tacoma News Tribune, and in a few seconds that we have left here. Mike, again, thanks for joining us. So how do you grade out the draft yesterday? I mean, they got a Goodwill Herring and a Mebane and a Roto. It looks like, at least in name-wise, they did a pretty good job. What about the players behind them?
Well, not having a first-round pick certainly hurt, and it made for a boring Saturday, the Darryl Jackson situation notwithstanding. You know, they didn't... Well, I'll start with what they didn't do. You know, they didn't fill a need or a perceived need at tight end. That was a possibility coming in.
Yeah.
They did not go early after a guard. They did not get a guard who is probably going to start this year. So that said, I mean, they were happy with that, because they didn't think the guards or tight ends that they could get where they were drafting would be good enough to beat out the guys. And so their take on it was that they wanted to get guys who would contribute soon. So by taking the cornerback Josh Wilson in the second round, he's probably your nickel corner, or at least competes for that right away. He can return kicks as well, gives them a better option there. And then in the third round, Brandon Mebane from Cal is just kind of a run-stuffing defensive tackle. Again, a guy who may have to play, because Marcus Tubbs is coming off a knee injury. He's had some problems staying healthy. They thought, had they drafted a tight end at 55, you know, and the top two were off the board at that point, they'd be getting a guy who might not be any better this year or ever than the guys they have now. And so they will be, you know, criticized for that strategy if 35-year-old tight end Marcus Pollard doesn't make it through the season. They're very high on him. They think he is a young 35, having not played college. At guard, after missing out on Chris Dielman in free agency, they re-signed Floyd Womack. They re-signed Chris Gray. I think they're prepared to go with those guys for at least this year. And then maybe one of the guards they drafted this year can step up in a year. So that was a strategy. It always takes time to see how it plans out. But like I said, without the first-round pick, you probably aren't going to get the type of impact you otherwise would from this draft.
Hey, Mike, I know you had your kids' basketball game tonight. I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to jump on with us, man, and hopefully we get to talk to you again soon.
Anytime, Vinny. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you. Mike Sando from the TNT. You can read his blog, The Seahawks Insider, at thenewstribune.com.